podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, welcome to United Hour, your one-stop shop for all things Manchester United. I'm your host, Imran.
And I'm Ed.
Yeah, Ed's back for the second week in a row. We've got rid of Nick for the week. We decided he's too positive. So what we need after the most positive United game in years is no Nick, because otherwise I think the world will explode in a burst of positivity. So yeah, just you and me, Ed, for this one. But honestly, what a podcast to be on. An incredible game at Old Trafford, Man United 4, Liverpool 3. Is this the best game since what? Paris?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's certainly the best Liverpool United game I've probably ever watched. I can't think of a better game.
Yeah, in terms of Man United Liverpool, obviously there've been moments, you know, you think of the John O'Shea last minute winner, the Rio Ferdinand last minute winner, Cantona in the cup final all those years ago. But in terms of full game 90 minutes, you're probably thinking maybe the Berbatov hat-trick game maybe.
Yeah, yeah, or Juanfield.
Oh yeah, or Juanfield, but that's, I mean, we were very impressive that day and Liverpool weren't up to much, and actually we were quite poor for even only winning 2-1 that game. But this was an incredible game of football. I was thinking, I mean, I've been privileged enough to be a United season ticket holder for 27 years. This would must be top three games I've ever been live at.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
I mean, I was lucky enough to be at the European Cup final in 2008. So there's that. And then the only way, I always go back to the Makeda game and goal as a moment But I'd put this right up there with any of them. I assume you were watching from home?
I was watching from home, yeah. My 3-year-old is now terrified of me at the moment.
Well, he should be a fan for life after that, once he realises the magnitude of what happened. I mean, it's impossible to know where to start with this game, so I guess we start right at the beginning. The starting lineups came out, and Casemiro had a knock, Evans had a knock, and we had Wan-Bissaka coming straight in from injury, Højlund coming straight in from injury, and a midfield of Mainoo and McTominay. What was your initial reaction to that midfield?
I mean, I'd have played Amrabat, but obviously without McTominay being on the pitch, he doesn't score that goal, does he? So it sort of works out really. But yeah, no, I would probably have played Amrabat and Mainoo in midfield to begin with.
Yeah, I would have too. Shows what we know, but I would have based it on the fact that of the Liverpool game at Anfield, which is probably the only time we've had a competent midfield this entire season. That was obviously stodgy 0-0, and I thought we'd try to do the same thing here. Obviously we did the exact opposite. So for the game that took place, you know, Mainoo and McTominay kind of, well, it did work out in the end, by the second half. But we'll get to the second half. There's a lot, as I said, there's a lot to go through in this game. But it was good to see Højlund back as well, straight from injury. And Wan-Bissaka too, apparently. So I think Bruno said that Johnny Evans was set to start and got injured. Then Wan-Bissaka, who was probably not fit enough to start again, put himself forward and said, "Yep, I'll do it." And fair play to him for stepping up like that.
Definitely. I mean, he had a good game. The only player I was probably unhappy with was Lindelof starting. I think if Maguire was fit enough to be in the English squad and on the bench, he could probably have started. But that's my only criticism.
Yeah, I would assume it's, again, a fitness issue. Maguire might be fit enough for the English squad because he'd have a few more training sessions behind him. Lindelof at centre-back, I mean, it's not my favourite thing in the world, let's be honest, but it's better than Lindelof at left-back. And he actually had a decent game in the end. So yeah, we started the game, and Old Trafford was, I mean, there was a thread recently on the CAF bemoaning the atmosphere at Old Trafford, and it's one of those things I always go back to where it's easy to slag off a crowd, and you know, sometimes I'll do it too, but you feed off what you're getting off the pitch a lot of the time, and if there's nothing going if there's nothing going on the pitch, it's really hard to get yourself up for the big moments. I mean, I will say this as a guy who goes to the games, and maybe I sit on my hands sometimes when there's nothing going on the pitch, and maybe I should be making more noise. But you know, when there's nothing going on, it's really hard to get up for it. But
I agree completely. It is really hard. Even when you're at home, it's really hard to keep interest in the game when absolutely nothing's happening. It's just the same shit, different day. You know, it's difficult, and I agree that, you know, the players have to provide some entertainment for us to again feed back into pushing them on.
Yeah, and plus, you know, it's also occasion, it's the opposition. I mean, a crowd will be more up for Liverpool at home than they will be for Everton at home. That's just life, you know. Definitely. That's how it is. And plus, having 9,000 Liverpool fans in there did help as well. It just made me think, actually, you kind of wish that league games had more away fans in them, because it just makes for a much better atmosphere. So Old Trafford was rocking before kickoff, and I don't want to read too much into it, but you feel like the energy from the crowd and the energy from United kind of played off each other for that first half an hour, where we were excellent and
really good.
The best first half, well, best 40 minutes of the season so far, you'd say?
Yeah, probably, particularly when you consider the team it was against, and, you know, we started off on the front foot, attacking, pressing, not many mistakes at the back. It was really good. You know, you felt like we could win the game. It wasn't as though we turned up and, you know, tried to eke something out.
Mm. And I thought a big part of that first half actually was Diogo Dalot, who was stepping into midfield. I mean, I've said this for a while. He is the one player who never shits himself on the ball. I think it's because he's thick in the head and he has nothing going on upstairs, but he never shits himself on the ball. Never panics. He's the one player who I reckon right now you could take him, whack him into City's team, and he'd probably fit right in, because he's good on the ball, good under pressure. I mean, at one point he took the ball in the middle, in the Casemiro DM position on the half turn with three players around him. He did a quick turn around and we got away with a forward pass. It was really good performance from him.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, he's been really versatile this season, playing left back, right back, you know, slipping into that sort of central role when we're sort of attacking. It's great.
What did you think to him starting at right back and Wan-Bissaka at left back? Because I think that raised a few eyebrows before the game.
Yeah, I'd have played, well, I said on the last pod, I think you've got to have pegs in round holes. And I think that was specifically with Lindelof at left back, but I think, if you're playing Aaron Wan-Bissaka at left back, and yeah, I think I would have gone with Dalot. If it was me, I would have gone with Dalot at left back with Aaron Wan-Bissaka at right back. But, you know, Aaron Wan-Bissaka clearly had a specific instruction to do in the game, which was to keep Mo Salah quiet. So I think it made sense.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see what would have happened if Johnny Evans was fit, because I can't imagine Lindelof doing that man marking job on Salah. So. That would have been interesting. But yeah, it kind of played into our hands. Wan-Bissaka, obviously, if you give him a man to mark, he'll do it. Salah did get a goal and a decent volley chance, actually, at the first half. But Salah will do that. He's a class player at the end of the day. You can't keep him quiet for 90 minutes entirely.
Yeah, I think that volley was a lot was made of it. Then it wasn't as close as it looked.
Oh, it looked close to me from behind the goal. I thought it was in.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh, when I saw it from the behind angle, I thought it was quite wide. Well, not quite wide, but wide enough that you wouldn't be troubled if it as a keeper.
I could be wrong. He did very well with the shot anyway, though, you have to say.
He did do very well with the shot. I just don't like giving him that guy credit.
Fair enough. But it was actually us who took the lead, of course. Rashford slipping in Garnacho, whose shot was saved by Keller, and then there was the man, Scott McTominay, to put it in, probably his easiest goal of the season. Scott McTominay, what can you say? Yeah, another goal.
You know, he's a goal machine this season, isn't he? It's mental, absolutely mental. Like, I was well prepared to sell him last season in the summer, and without him this season, we'd probably be adrift mid-table and, you know, certainly out of the FA Cup, probably.
Yeah, I don't know whether to talk about his whole performance now, but we might as well get into it, because it does kind of overlap into the second half a little bit. And I feel like Scott McTominay, his strengths, his weaknesses, everything was put out to bear in this entire 90 minutes,
absolutely.
Really. Obviously there's the goal, there was a lot of driving runs forward, he got that assist for the Rashford goal, could have scored the winner himself, all that stuff around the box. I mean, he is a lethal weapon. But then you have that period in the second half, well, first of all, you have the first half where at various times it could just run through our midfield at will, because there just was no midfield.
What midfield?
It just wasn't green grass. Have Maynou, McTominay and Bruno all in the box somewhere, and there was just zero anything in the middle of the park. And then in the second half, obviously, there was that 20-minute period where we just could not get the ball off them at all. And you could say that's a whole team thing. It's a whole team issue, and it is, but...
Yeah.
Specifically midfield, we were just losing the battle completely. But then, when the game transcends into absolute chaos, at the end, that's where McTominay really shines. He is the man for chaos.
Yeah, absolutely, he is the man for chaos. He's sort of, he picks up those little pockets and finds himself in those little bits of space around the area, at the edge of area, where he can actually, you know, cause some well, cause damage, but you know, create some opportunities. It's just that, well, I saw a picture of Liverpool breaking, and there is just acres of space between the defence and where midfield is supposed to be. And you probably don't get that with another player, but it's the sacrifice you're making when you're playing Scott McTominay.
Yeah, I think I saw a comment this morning that, you know, you'll never control games with Scott McTominay in midfield, and that is 100% true. That's 100% true. But ultimately, in these big games against big teams, we can't control the game. We're not able to control the game at the moment. And actually, when we're playing teams that are better than us, our best chance is for it to descend into madness, descend into chaos, and for us to completely just run on vibes and mentality. And that's where we shine.
Yeah. You can see that they're not happy to, I wouldn't say they're happy to do that, but like, they players like McTominay certainly thrive off it, and Bruno, in fact, he thrives off that chaos as well. I think they both sort of create those opportunities or get on the end of things where if we were controlling the game, the space wouldn't be there for them to do it.
Well, and we'll never control a game against Liverpool ultimately. The only time in this game where any control was established was that 20 minutes in the second half, and it was Liverpool who established the control, and we couldn't lay a finger on them. Like the first half, we played well, but we made it a bit of a ding-dong, and they were getting forward as well. It's not like we were just camping in their half. They were getting forward, we were getting forward, but we were creating the better chances. So yeah, it's interesting. Is it sustainable going forward if you want to be a top team? No.
Certainly not if you listen to what Ollie said in his recent interview. But yeah, I agree. I don't think it's sustainable at all. And we need to have that stability in midfield to be able to push on and actually control games. And you know, you need to control the majority of games to win the league. It's as simple as that. And we're not going to do that with the current midfield.
No, but one person who I imagine will be a mainstay in that midfield for years to come is Kobbie Mainoo, who was... I'd probably put this as his best performance for us so far. Just tremendous.
On the ball. Definitely.
I mean, what can you say about an 18-year-old who has that sort of poise and ability on the ball?
No, I don't know. It's like those job applications. I think I've seen this as a meme or something online, but it's like one of those job applications where they're asking for someone with like 5 years experience, but also a graduate, new graduate. And it's like, this is the guy. It's so mad how much poise and time he makes himself for on the ball. And then it keeps it in tight areas. It's so difficult when you've got about four Liverpool players around you just to dribble through them. And he did it with ease, It's hard to believe we've got a player like that that's come through our academy. That's the way I see it.
Yeah. And I mean, he did tire, and fair enough, he is 18. And I think a few people questioned his substitution, but I thought at that point he was absolutely knackered. And I think, fine, he just put in a brilliant tackle in our own box as well. So I was like, fair enough. I don't mind the change. But yeah, just a great performance from Mainoo. So yeah, 1-0. And we could have had a second, thanks to Mainoo's quick feet, where Rashford laid it on for McTominay, who I could see what he was trying to do. He was trying to go back across the keeper because his route into the other corner was completely blocked off by about three Liverpool players, but he just didn't get the shot right. And you think, you know, you were happy with our performance, but then Liverpool came forward. They scored that offside goal, to be fair.
Awesome.
That was the warning sign.
Well, I mean, that was the warning sign because before they got that, we were trying to play from the back on all of the goal kicks and stuff, and we don't seem to have the poise. I think some of them are fully capable of doing that, but we didn't seem to have the poise to do it, and we don't regularly seem to have the poise to do it. So I don't know why we were even risking it, really, especially when we didn't really have the midfield to control the areas where we needed to be able to play from the back.
Well, I thought for the first 30 minutes we did it quite well. But the issue with us for about playing from the back, and the issue will always be that it will always go wrong at some point. It's not a secure thing. You can do it well for 30 minutes, but then the next 10 minutes it's going to go tits up, and that's how it is when we play from the back. And it happened for that chance. and it was marginally offside that once. That was a let off, but then they came through again.
Yeah.
I haven't actually watched this goal back from being in the ground. All I can really remember was Rashford kind of letting. I can't remember who ran through, but was it Szoboszlai maybe?
I think it was Kwanzaa.
Oh, was it? Yeah, Kwanzaa. Yeah. He's actually quite good. Is that Kwanzaa lad? That's the most praise I'll give to a Liverpool player today. he ran through and it just went past Rashford way too easily, laid it back. Yeah. It was actually a good move, but then a wicked deflection taken past Onana, and that's 1-1.
Yes.
Probably, I mean, not totally undeserved, but we were definitely the better team in that first half until that point. But then, you know, once adversity strikes United, sometimes it really gets the better of us.
Yeah, yeah. And we just sort of shit the bed, don't we, completely. And the second goal soon followed, didn't it?
Yeah, as it often has. And that goal was, the Salah goal. A good save from Onana. I've seen some people say maybe you should push it over the bar, maybe. But, I mean, it was a strong shot. Just to save it in general, look, I think, is...
He did well to get a strong hand on it and you know, keep it out. If that goes away from Salah, you're saying good save. So
yeah, exactly.
No one's criticising that.
Just how it happened. Fell to Salah's feet. Managed to hit it off the post. It'd been hilarious if he hit the post there. So yeah, that was 2-1, and suddenly we go into the break kind of against it. And I have to say, the mood inside Old Trafford was, well, we gave it a good go, but that's probably it now. You know, the few touch points I had anyway, that seemed to be the vibe. It wasn't like, oh, we're going to get back into this. It was kind of like, well, we give it a go, but that's it now. I don't know how you felt at home.
That's exactly how I felt at home as well. I thought, well, you know, maybe we could come out in the second half and have a go, but I don't, you know, you're leaving yourself vulnerable there to Liverpool's attack, and it could go the other way entirely, and you end up looking at 7-1 or something like that. But I that's exactly how I felt, and I think some of the guys in the pod also felt like that from the match day chat that we have.
Yeah, and also it's where I think Liverpool haven't lost a game they've been in the lead of, I think, this season. There's some stat like that.
I think I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, they're pretty good when they go ahead. They're a good team in general. We're not in the best place, so you think that'll be it. But, you know, no. And the second half, honestly, the second half kind of played out that pattern. I think the first couple of minutes, we seemed a bit up for it, but then there's that control that I talked about. They really took hold of the game, and we couldn't get close to them. I think there was a 10-minute period where we must have touched the ball about 5 times.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even remember that. It was just, we weren't really doing much at certainly the beginning of the second half. We weren't really landing a glove on them at all.
No, and it was one of the, I always thought, second balls is such a big thing in football. If you can get a hold of those second balls, you'll actually get yourself back into the game more. And we weren't getting any second balls at all. Whereas the last 5 minutes of the first half, we were winning every single second ball, and it told. It's massive. It's a massive. It's a small thing, but it's a massive thing. You win those second balls, you get yourself into the game.
Yeah, it is. It is. And taking opportunities when it doesn't necessarily fall as well as it could have done. That's another thing that we sort of capitalised on in this game.
Yeah. So Liverpool probably at that point when it was 2-1 and they were ahead, they should have really. That's when they should have won the game. Really, they should have taken the game out away from us. But they didn't. Ultimately, we won. I mean, Nick will be upset if I don't talk about the XG. And the XG shows that actually at 90 minutes we were ahead, and at full time we were ahead. I think Liverpool's XG for the entire game was around 2. Obviously, they scored from 2 deflected shots, which will be low percentage chances. And really, I mean, Onana made a couple of big saves, but they were all at his near post, really, and they were saves you'd expect him to make, like hard shots, obviously. Like I think Nunes powered one in, Diaz did as well, but they were saves you expect him to make.
Definitely.
But yeah, they didn't really push us too hard in terms of shooting, in terms of chances on goal. It's just we just couldn't get near him, and you just felt it was drifting away from us.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So at that point, if we'd lost then, I think I'd have been disappointed. If we'd lost in that manner at 2-1 and the game had finished, I think I'd have been disappointed with the effort in the second half. Luckily, I'm setting that up for a bit of a payoff later, but luckily that didn't happen because of Anthony. But we'll use this chance to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll keep talking about this game. Welcome back to the pod. So yeah, Anthony. When Anthony's coming on What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the game over then, isn't it? That's my immediate thought. Like, we're not getting back into this game now with Anthony coming on. That's for sure. That, you know, we've given it up.
Yeah, it's the white flag moment. He came on for Hoyland, who had a quiet game, but, you know, he's returning from injury. Maguire came on at the same time. Maguire was an absolute monster in this game. One of the best substitution performers you are likely to see, I think, from Harry Maguire, who effectively managed to play two positions all game really well.
Yeah, you could really see the leadership qualities in him when he went the way he came on and sort of took hold of the game, essentially. Really, he really made a difference.
Yeah, it was huge at the back and up front. But yeah, first the Anthony goal, which, I mean, I watched the game back. Well, I watched the from Anthony's goal onwards back, and it comes from nowhere, that goal. We're not threatening. We're not attacking. We'd had a bit more possession at that point for the last couple of minutes beforehand because we just had none for the previous 20 minutes. But it genuinely just comes from absolutely nowhere, that goal. And fair play to Anthony. I give Anthony a lot of stick, a lot of it deserved. I give him a lot of criticism, as pretty much every United fan does at this point, for the price tag, for the what he puts into the games, his output, etc. But, I mean, he has dragged us into this game single-handedly.
Yeah, 100%. And, do you know, fair play to the guy, because it's not the only big game goal he scored either. Yeah, I think his debut was a goal against Arsenal, then he scored against Barcelona, and now against Liverpool in such a clutch moment to sort of wrestle the game into extra time. It's on his weaker foot as well.
I think that's what caught everyone by surprise, the fact that he shot on it. I don't think the Liverpool players were expecting it. I don't think Keller was expecting it. And fair enough. No. Maybe this was a whole 2-year big con, the time that he actually used his right foot, to the surprise of everyone, because not one person was expecting him to shoot there. Not one person.
No, absolutely not.
It all just kind of happened in slow motion as well. It just kind of like
bottled
into the net, and you're like, okay, where the hell's that come from? But we're back in this game.
Yeah, it was so mad. And what's funny is he also did a right-footed cross like a minute later. So I'm thinking, who is this guy? Is this even Anthony? Have we put someone else on?
And it was mad. I think he's just been kicking a ball against the wall with his right foot for the last month or something. But genuinely, a great finish, great turn, great finish. It caught everyone by surprise, and suddenly we're back in the game. And then the following 8 minutes that preceded that, or however long it was until the end of 90 minutes, I cannot recall an injury time like that at Old Trafford for a long, long time, where the crowd was up. I mean, you'd have thought we were losing and there was no injury time, there was no extra time to go into or anything. There was no even idea that we could try and not win this game before the time was up. We were going for it. The crowd was up. Maguire was up front. I don't know what our formation was. It was... No. A crazy intense 7 minutes that I can't recall anything like it.
No, it was just mad. Like, you could feel the sort of tables turning. Like, you know, I think Liverpool would definitely felt concerned that they could lose it in the 90. You know, because we were proper pushing.
Yeah, and a big part of that was Maguire up front, just getting his big head on everything, just being an absolute agent of chaos.
Wasn't the one where he absolutely sort of loops it over across to the other side, and it just a bit wide for I think Garnacho.
Rashford. That was it. That was in the.
Was it Rashford?
That was in extra time.
Oh,
was that
in extra time? Oh,
yeah,
gosh.
But even still, he was just everywhere. I think I genuinely think at one point we had Bruno as our deepest player.
Yeah, yeah.
Eriksen a bit in front of him. Did. Then we just had a line of eight players on the edge of their box.
Yeah, yeah.
If at any point Liverpool had managed to somehow get out, we would have been. Out.
They did once. I don't know if it was an extra time actually, but once, and Bruno intercepted it and ended it before he started.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, that was in injury time as well. Bruno got his big head on something that they would have been out if he hadn't. They did, and you know, ultimately, all this kind of crescendoed into that Rashford chance put through by Eriksen, who again came on. Made more passes than anyone on the pitch after he came on, did Eriksen. Nobody made more passes than him. Yeah, nobody touched the ball more, and nobody made more passes than Eriksen after he came on. Which
he was very good as a deep line playmaker, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of, again, he's not got the legs, obviously, he's getting his age, but you know, when you need someone to actually pass a ball, he's on it. And that pass to Rashford was inch perfect. And Rashford, he did all the hard work, didn't he?
I just, I can't believe that didn't go in. You just thought when that didn't go in, it might not be our day. Like, come on, you're paid however much a week. That's your bread and butter. That is, you should be putting that in.
Not only is that spreading, but it's the chance that Rashford probably, you'd say, enjoys the most. That's the on the left hand side cutting in. That's the one he enjoys. There was mention on ITV that he might have been offside. I haven't seen it
it's
properly though.
Potentially, it's very close, very, very close. You'd be upset if it's sort of given offside.
Well, if we'd scored it and it had been given, if we'd scored it, I'd have gone crazy, and it being given offside, I think I might have been in utter despair at that point. So maybe Rashford's actually saved us all a lot of heartache.
Yeah. I like to think he did it on purpose because he thought he was offside.
He's playing 4D chess. And it ultimately led to extra time. And probably, if this game ends 3-2 in injury time, it's a great game, and obviously it will be remembered for a long time. I think this going into extra time just puts it over the top as one of the great games, I think.
Oh, it, absolutely. People talk about the romance of the FA Cup and things, but you rarely ever see it these days. You rarely ever see a properly classic game. And honestly, that I can't get over it. That was, without a doubt, one of the best games of football I've probably ever watched. I feel like it's, maybe it's recency bias, but I just, can't get over it at the moment.
No, it's fair. I'd say it's definitely up there. So extra time starts, and we don't have a left back, which was interesting because well, actually, to be fair, as soon as we scored the Antony goal, obviously they went up the pitch and hit the post, didn't they? Who was it? Who scored their third goal?
Was it Elliot
Yeah,
scored their
Elliot.
third
So
goal?
he hit the post, didn't he, from that cross? And that was because we just didn't have anyone at left back, and he just ran into a giant space that Onana basically played left back for 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah, so that could have, and then it was pinging around. So we started with no left back, which, Maverick formation. I mean, Erik ten Hag said he went man for man at the back because he trusted his players. I mean, fair enough. But
in fairness, I do think when we went, because it was like we didn't really have a left back, but we had, I can't, it was three at the back with Dalot playing the right centre back. I can't remember who the other two were. One of them was Maguire, actually,
it's
but I don't remember who the other
Lindelof
one
was still there
was
at
it
that
Lindelof?
point. yeah
And actually, I thought that might, I felt that was probably the most stable we've felt, I felt as at the back than I had all game. I don't know why, but it just, for me, I felt a lot more confident in it.
Well, it was just mad. I thought, like, the whole extra time period was mad. Again, we were really pushing. It was back and forth again. Lindelof had a shot with his left foot.
Rifle, absolute rifle.
Yeah, and ultimately they were the ones who managed to sneak ahead again through a deflected shot. Just a bit slow to close down, really, I would say, on this one.
Yeah, I mean, it was gone. I thought it was Garnacho's man, and you could see him sort of look up, see the ball break into Elliot, and think, "Oh, I just can't. It's this one's beyond me." I could see it. You could see it in his face, and he just sort of watched as Maguire and Eriksen closed him down, and yeah, it slips through. And I can't begrudge him of that. The guy had run miles for the last, however, 90 minutes. 95 minutes.
Yeah, I mean,
Understand it.
genuinely, he looked like the most tired man alive in the second half of extra time, especially. He looked like the most tired man in the history of the world. And fair enough, because he'd ran his bollocks off for 90 solid
Up and
minutes,
down.
up and down the line, up and down the line.
Yep.
Came away with three. I actually thought we should take him off. But watch it
He was
again.
tracking so much.
Yeah, again, shows what I know, because he obviously lays off the assist for the last goal. I don't know where he got the energy from. For it, just I mean, another great performance from the young man. A really great performance.
I mean, what a player we've got there. The squad for the future with him, Maynou, Højlund, it's looking so good.
Yeah, he just works his bollocks off, and that's the. I mean, obviously he has all the skills and quality and traits and stuff, but the fact that he works his ass off is just a great trait of his. And he never stops running, and he didn't today. Well, yesterday. So they score, and then second half, extra time, we bring on Mason Mount for Lindelof. And at this, it's at this point that Bruno is now our new centre-half, and he's got one leg and he's hobbling around on centre-half one leg. I actually thought Bruno played better as a centre-half in this game than he did as an attacking midfielder.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, he didn't really have much moving to do, really, did he? So, like,
no, I mean, there was no one to mark, but he was actually dictating the play a bit from the back. And he wasn't.
Yeah,
he was actually being a bit sensible with the ball because he kind of had to be as that deep lying guy.
I do remember him giving it away once, but we quickly. I think he might have got it back. I can't remember off the top of my head.
But again, we were leaving ourselves open. I think to these. I mean, Liverpool had so many counters, 4-on-2. There was one that was 5-on-2, and you just think, how have you not?
It was. Yeah.
I say, how have you not? Cody Gakpo, we have dodged a massive bullet on Cody Gakpo. He is crap. Yeah. And I thought this when he came on Anfield against the Brazilian season. I thought this guy barely looks like a footballer. He managed to top that yesterday by being even worse. He is terrible.
Yeah. There was also one when Nunez did one of his absolute balloon shots. Might have even gone out for a throw. I can't remember now. But yeah.
I mean, Nunez at one point got overpowered by Lindelof, which, you know, is not a great look, is it? For a striker, if you're getting overpowered by Lindelof, it's not a great look.
He's probably the weakest player on the pitch.
Yeah. But actually, again, Lindelof had a decent game. I shouldn't ridicule him too much.
Well, I know. I mean, someone said Anthony had a great game. I was like, yeah, but he wasn't shit, was he?
Anthony did play well. I give him that. He did not look anything like the Anthony. And he played, again, he was now at left back. There's a little video going around of him throwing a mini strop, I guess you could say, when Ten Hag asked him to play at left back. He's like, who, me? Why? What? But, you know, he got on with it. And I mean, you probably shouldn't be throwing a strop. You should probably just do what you need to do for the team. But ultimately, he got on with it on the pitch, and that's all you can ask for, really.
Yeah.
I think it's Rashford telling him to just shut up and get on with it.
Yeah. In fairness, though, like, that attitude's also, all right, because it means he's backing himself to try and score the winner.
It does mean that we've never actually tried him at left back before, which is puts paid to the idea that he'd be a good left back. I don't think he'll ever want to play left back.
Game's
open. Anything can happen. Nunez is closed down really well by Ahmad, who came. When did Ahmad came on? Did he come on in normal time? Yeah, he did come on in normal time. He had a big effect on the game, even in normal time. Ahmad, he was running around like a crazy. He was up front, so it was kind of him and Rashford up front by them as a two.
Yeah.
With Garnacho and Anthony on the wings at full time, and then he went onto the wing when Anthony. We were just all over the place. I don't know where Mason Mount was playing. I can't even tell you where Mason Mount was playing.
No, I don't even remember Mason Mount touching the ball, to be honest.
He probably didn't, but he had a great game. That's all I'll say. Ahmad closed down. Nunez plays it to McTominay, who I think McTominay was going to shoot, and then he got cramp. so he just passed it to Rashford.
Do you think he was sort of shooting as he got cramp, and it just sort of
as he passes it away. He passes it and then hobbles to the ground.
Does he?
Yeah. In just a fit of cramp.
I didn't see the replays because I was too busy screaming. That's absolutely off my seat, jumping around.
Well, fair play to Rashford. Great mentality. He obviously missed the one at the end of normal time. He had another one that was offside. He was offside in the end, but he had another one where he put wide of the post. And then he had a third one, which he flashed across that no one got on the end of. I'm not sure if that was... I think it was a shot come cross kind of thing.
It was one of those cross shots where, you know, if it goes in, great, but then someone else can also get on the end of it.
So for him to, you know, keep his head up, put that in, brilliant.
Yeah, fantastic finish. Cool. Just ice cold.
Very cool. And the ball wasn't a perfect ball. It was a bit behind him. He had to wrap his foot around it. You know, that's where you... And I actually thought Rashford, I mean, he's been terrible up front recently, but this little stint up front was probably the best he's looked up front for a long time.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So good to see. And he's got, I think 3 goals in his last 3 games now?
Yeah, something like that. Well, he's City, Everton, got the penalty.
I mean... Hopefully some signs of him. Well, it is signs of improvement. Hopefully it can continue.
How many is he for the season? Do you know? Is it?
I couldn't tell you how many is for the season. He's definitely not near double figures, I don't think. He'd probably be like, eight. I would guess around 8, I would guess. Sounds like a healthy guess.
I need, I had a bet with my friend about Rashford scoring 25 all comps this season.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. You've lost that. It's not going to happen. Payout now. That's what I would say to that.
Yeah. Well, I'll hang on until the FA Cup final if we get to it.
Well, if we'll get to that.
If, big if. Big if, yeah.
So, 3-3. Actually, it's worth saying, you know, at 3-2, if we'd lost this game 3-2, I wouldn't have been that disappointed. Obviously, I would have been. But I wouldn't have been angry.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been angry in the same way. Had we lost it at 2-1, I'd have been annoyed. I think if we lost it at 3-2, I'd have been disappointed because obviously we lost, but I'd at least been like, you know, fair play, lads. You gave it a really good go.
Yeah.
We tried to win it in normal time. We put everything out there. Fair enough. You know, I'd have been fine with it.
Yeah, especially considering you've seen them start a game and just not turn up at all. Hmm. You know, it's a big team to play against. I know you have to take these games in isolation, and the FA Cup is another kettle of fish in addition to that. But there's a universe where we've just not turned up, and Liverpool have walked away with it.
No, exactly. And the fact that, you know, ultimately this game, Liverpool could score from that last corner and win 4-3.
Exactly.
There's a universe that could happen. And if that happens, then again, you say, you know, you're disappointed, you lost it at the last minute, whatever. But we gave it a really good go. So we'll take another quick break here, and when we come back we'll talk about Ahmad. Welcome back to the final part of the podcast. So we saved the best to last, obviously. Before we got the Ahmad chance, there was the Scott McTominay chance, which I thought that was our big chance. I thought, oh, that's the one. And then after that, I was like, I'm dreading penalties. I don't know if I could have hacked penalties in the ground, I have to say. I don't know what I would have done. How do you think we'd have fared at penalties?
I think we might have won them at penalty. I think we might have done. I think Onana saved a penalty before, just the one.
Copenhagen.
He's just saved the one penalty. But I think, you know, they've got Salah's off.
They had a lot of youngsters on the pitch. I think they'd had, like, what, Darwin, Nunes could have taken one, and Van Dijk. But we would have had Bruno, Rashford, Garnacho, Ahmad. I think Ahmad took them for Sunderland, I think. I think he took up you for Sunderland, maybe. Yeah. So I think, we might have done all right. But
Big Harry Maguire's on. He put some top bins.
I don't think my heart could have taken it, though. That's the main thing.
My heart could definitely not have taken it.
But then, Liverpool got a corner. And it's fair play to them. They put everyone forward, one man back. They were going for it too. I keep forgetting his name. Who scored their third goal? What's his name?
Harvey Elliott.
Needs a more descriptive name, because I cannot remember the name Harvey Elliott for the life of me. What a boring name. Anyway, he kind of doesn't deal with a bouncing ball very well, and Ahmad rubs it off him, and then suddenly you've got Garnacho, who gets energy from God knows where, surging forward. Ahmad on his right, and I actually thought Ahmad kind of messed it up. The pass to him's not great from Garnacho; it's a bit bobbly and a bit slow, and it allowed I think it was Conor Bradley who was tracking back to kind of get across to Ahmad, but he slips, and I still thought Ahmad had left himself too much to do, but he somehow managed to trickle it into the bottom corner. Bedlam.
Absolute bedlam. Were you jumping around?
I think my soul left my body at that point. I know it's one of the rare times that Old Trafford, and plus everyone was still there as well, because no one had left. You'd be going to penalties, so no one had left. The whole ground's still full. It's just absolute chaos. It's one of the great Old Trafford moments. I can't think of many that would come back. And unfortunately, I wasn't there for the United City 4-3 game, but I imagine it was something like that Owen goal. But this, I mean, it was carnage and just an incredible moment, a truly incredible moment. Thank you, Ahmad, for that, because, I mean, he took his shirt off, amazing. Got sent off. Who gives a shit? Dumbest rule in the world. Amazing.
He didn't even realise that he forgot he'd had that first yellow card. So I think it was McTominay explaining to him that he's got to go off now because he's just been sent. He's there not knowing why he's being sent off. And McTominay's explaining that he's got to go off because he took it. It's his second yellow.
Yeah, I mean, to his first yellow was because all he was doing was making sure they took a free kick from the right position. It's one of those stupid yellows that actually the referee could have probably said, actually, yeah, take your free kick from the right position, but he booked him instead. The referee was it was an odd game from the ref. Oh, on their second goal, did you think it was a foul on Bruno? I didn't. I didn't think it was a foul.
I think it's both soft and a foul. I think he clears through Bruno to get to the ball, and it can go either way. And I think
it's soft. I don't think it's foul, but I do think that it's the foul that linesmen always give because it makes them feel important to wave their little flag around when something like that happens near them.
Yeah,
and they always give it. So I was a bit surprised he didn't give it, but I'm not gonna complain too much.
I mean, it probably happened like 10, 20 times in the game, probably more than that, and a foul was given.
Yeah. Well,
maybe not. It probably had plenty of times and a foul was given. And, you know, it's obviously the one instance where it's not given where Liverpool score. It was weird. Like, it's like the ref at the end where was willing Liverpool to get another equaliser.
Well, we'll get like, to that. I've got a bit earmarked for that.
Okay.
I'm mad. He's obviously chances have been limited this season. I think we've all wanted him to play a bit more. He's down the pecking order, but I mean, he's got to be in the manager's thoughts now.
Of course, I mean, clearly, I mean, he does the hard work, does the running, fantastic touches, played really well, scores the winning goal. I don't get why he's not played a bit more. To be honest, like I just part of me was thinking, well. Ten Hag clearly doesn't rate him then. Like, he'll be sold in the summer. But, yeah, it's weird.
I honestly think he should have been starting up front when Højlund got injured. Because, he came on up front in this game and he did really well. Hopefully he gets more chances now because that was a hell of a way. I mean, ultimately, it's not even his first goal. It's his second goal for us. He scored that header in Europe as well. So, he has played and scored for us before. But it feels like this was a real introduction for him. And obviously, and an exit with a red card, but yeah, it just you'd hope he gets more of a chance now because I think he's got a lot of talent.
I think so. I think he's got a lot of talent. Particularly considering he is also versatile in that he'll play right wing. He can play centre forward. I think he played centre forward a bit for Sunderland.
He did, yeah.
Not often, but
no, like five times or something like that.
You give him a go at the very least,
and he's leaps and bounds ahead of Fawson. And I don't mean that as a negative on Fawson, but Fawson is just not ready for this level of football, where Ahmad clearly is. So there's no way that Fawson should be ahead of him at all. Madness. That's it. And I genuinely thought the referee was just going to blow up straight after that. Instead, he managed to get 4 minutes of injury time from 15 minutes extra time, which is the same. There was 4 minutes injury time in the first half when there was two VAR checks. There was 4 minutes injury time in the second half when there was an incredible amount of subs, goals, etc. In the second half extra time, there was one goal and one sub, and he somehow managed to get 4 minutes. I don't know where he got that from. That was absolutely maddening.
It's 30 seconds for a goal, 30 seconds for a sub. So where's it come from? It's not like there was time wasting either.
Kelleher got booked for one time wasting goal kick, probably 20 seconds max. I don't know what he was doing. I don't know where he came from, but it did not help my day. Let's put it that way. We had to hang on a bit. We didn't really hang on though. I think we got the ball in our box and we cleared it, and that were about it. And then we got some throw-ins, and that was the game.
Garnacho ran it down the wing. I think he got a Megs away for Antony, and then
more energy from somewhere from Antony. I don't know where he gets it from. I genuinely thought he was going to pass out at one point. He was so tired. And that's it. 4-3. We're into the semi-final. Just an incredible game of football. I mean, how would you sum it up at all? All in all.
I'm speechless. I don't know. I've said it earlier, it's one of the best games I've ever watched, certainly against Liverpool. It had everything. Back and forwards attack, you know, a bit of control of the game from our perspective, slightly in the first half. We were on top at the very least. And because these games against Liverpool, they're usually just absolute slogs. Dull, were trying not to lose, and but we took it to them, and I can't be happier with the way we played. I genuinely can't, and I feel sorry for people like David who missed it.
That's David of this pod, who has been on a long time ago, for those who don't know. What does this do for Ten Hag, I guess, is the question, because ultimately he made a lot of big calls in this game and he got them all pretty much spot on. You know, it feels like the FA Cup is one thing that will be able to hang his hat on if he wants to stay the United manager. What is it? And it does show that the players are behind him. You know, they'll play for him, they'll fight for him. What do you think?
I think the subs came off this time because we've seen it before and it's not happened. So I don't think you can read into the subs so much, because there's also, like we said earlier, there's a universe where those subs are absolutely dire and then Liverpool go on to win it because of the subs. I think based upon the performance and the way the players are playing for him, I'd give him more time. There's clearly a harmony in the dressing room, and I think he probably deserves, particularly if we get to the final. If we end up playing against City, I'm not too bothered if we lose it. But yeah, I think he probably deserves at least another season.
Fair enough. I still think the jury's massively out. Still, one game doesn't change too much. It does give him credit, and he will you know, at least he'll go down in some sort of folklore for, you know, giving us this performance. But still, jury's out. You know, Champions League's a far cry, but the FA Cup's big, and honestly, an FA Cup win would be huge for him. I did want LVG to go. I definitely did, but I did feel there was something a bit wrong sacking him right after we won an FA Cup.
Definitely. I agree with that. What I would say is Ten Hag would be three, if we get to the final, it's three finals in two seasons.
Yeah, it's impressive, but we don't want to become a losing finalist. So we've got Coventry next, who did a remarkable game themselves against Wolves, scoring two goals in the last 3 minutes of injury time to win 3-2. It's the draw that everyone wanted. We've got it.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to think this. We have to go through to the final now.
You'd think so, but then this is United, and you don't know what team's going to come out.
We probably won't do it the conventional way. We'll probably do it on penalties or something like that. But this is a great opportunity to, you know, get to the final and most likely play City. All having said that, Chelsea haven't lost to City this season somehow. So
who would you rather play in the final?
Oh, Chelsea, obviously.
Yeah, Chelsea.
I don't want to play. It made me feel sick playing City last year in the final.
It's not worth the risk, is it? No,
God, no. I'd be happy to play and beat Chelsea. Thank you very much. But it's a massive opportunity for us. We've got to, you know, it's the only competition we can win now. We've got to go all the way for it. And ultimately as well, you want this win to mean something. You want this win to be part of an FA Cup run that saw us win the thing, and we can look back on it in a year and say, that's that year we beat Liverpool 4-3 at Old Trafford.
Yeah, definitely. And it could also be, hopefully, touch wood, it's a turning point for the league form as well, because...
I'm fed up of turning points. We don't have turning points. We have turning circles. I mean, Erik ten Hag afterwards did say it could be a catalyst, but how many catalysts have we had? We have so many catalysts all the time. I have seasons full of catalysts, and then, you know, so I'm not going to hang my hat on anything being different when we play Brentford in a few weeks.
Yeah. What I would say is Spurs and Villa both dropped points this weekend.
Yeah, they did. And ultimately, if we were consistent, we could capitalise. But it's I think Spurs and Villa will drop a lot of points. But I also think we'll drop a lot of points, and that's where the issue comes in. But if we can get some consistency, we will be right up there. But it seems a far cry. But, you know, we have to use this win for something.
Definitely.
Something positive, you'd think.
I hope so. If we end up with City in the final, I'll be happy with that. If we lose, we lose. But obviously,
no, we can't keep losing to City all the time. Bloody hell, got to beat them at some point.
We beat them last season, didn't we?
Yeah, we beat them 2-1 at Old Trafford last season Old with that Trafford, Bruno offside goal that we end up paying for VAR for about 5 years after that.
Yeah. Every decision. Want offside. I want offside.
Yeah. So we'll see how that cover. I don't know when that Coventry. I think it'll be late April, Coventry, I think.
I have no idea about what.
Yeah, something like that. So we'll be reporting on that game when that happens. Next, we've got Brentford away. But that's after the international break, so a bit of time off for the lads. Oh well, I say that they'll all be playing for their countries or whatever. And then Brentford away. Brentford, who are not in great form, they just lost to Burnley 2-1. Yes. They're on a bit of a downward spiral, so you know what that means. This is the perfect time to lose to them.
Yes, absolutely. Why not?
Yeah, we owe them one for that 4-0 loss last year.
We have beat them every time since, though, haven't we?
Yeah, we beat them twice since then. We played them twice at home since then, won twice, but. We still owe them for that 4-0 drubbing that we got.
Yeah.
You'd hope we get players back. Not too many injuries on international duty. I don't know if Hoyland's gone to Denmark. I really hope he hasn't. I need to check that.
I can't remember. I know Eriksen has.
So we just need to, keep players fit, get them back, and then hopefully we can go to Brentford and do the business.
Yeah. Martinez has gone to Argentina, hasn't he?
Has he?
I thought I remember someone saying he'd been called up, but I'm not too sure now.
Oh, how the hell has he been called up? He's got one leg.
Has he?
This is Nick's job, you know. I'm just a standing host. I can't know all these details.
No.
I could
be entirely wrong there.
Hopefully, you know, he'll be back soon. So yeah, more people we get back, the better. Obviously, Casemiro's also got a knock, so he can come back. We'll hopefully have more players back. I guess the last thing to end on would be: do you think we'll win the FA Cup?
Maybe, probably. Why not?
See, you had to say that because Nick would say yes, so you have to say yes, and I can say no because you know. That's my job in this pod to bring it all down after a wonderful 4-3 win.
Yeah.
That's it really for this pod. We could talk about other stuff, but I mean, United Women's won yesterday. There's the England squad with Kobbie Mainoo not in it, and that's caused a bit of controversy. But ultimately, it's all about this game against Liverpool, which I think everyone wants to hear about, and I think we've talked about in a good level of detail for everyone. So we'll be there. We'll be with you next time. Cheers for joining me, Ed.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Sports Social Podcast Network.